Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a show that happens twice a week where two to three to four old guys talk about old games. Today, It's Other Shit Monday. Tadpog podcasting magic. It's Other Shit Monday. Today, we're going to be talking about FTL, the indie sensation. And I am generally, except with the exception of Mass Effect, awful at space-related games. So we had to call in the, more expert guest hosts for this game. So we have two people who I know who have thoroughly beaten the game on multiple modes. Josh Nance.
It's actually Sean Miller doing the Josh voice.
Hey, look, you're still our friend.
Yeah, I didn't know if you'd listen to that full episode or not.
Yeah, we did. I've gotten thick skin thanks to you guys. So I'm okay. It's cool.
If you cried a little bit, we would have bought you a game like we used to.
That'd be a good story.
And then for the first time in many episodes, Wiley Ammons.
Representing the entire Florida fan club.
And the Zombie Apocalypse Rescue Squad.
That's right.
Half of the zombie.
Oh, man, if the zombie apocalypse happened now, we'd just be golden.
To Wiley's playing.
Dropping in from above.
We could have John Turley and Wiley Ammons. We'd be totally fine.
We'd be all right.
But first, I'm your bearded host, Tyler. And I know that Meg has talked with you, Wiley, about this. I would wager everybody, once I start talking about it, will have had it at one point or another.
Herpes.
Everybody. I know everybody in this room has had it at one point or another.
It's about controlling it.
guilt flashbacks, where you might just be sitting down, playing a game, waiting in line, whatever you're doing, and you'll just remember a point where you were extremely embarrassed, or remember embarrassing someone or being upset, and everything, like, you'll blush or have that whole feeling just come over you again. Yeah, just for no reason at all.
I was raised Catholic. That's like 8 o'clock in the morning.
I don't have a lot of those moments, but I remember one being, and I thought about it today. That's what made me go ahead when I was trying to think of my intro story. I remember the first time I played Silent Hill 3 was over Josh, when I used to live with you and Link and Ramon, and we all got in Ramon. Ramon never stayed there.
You all got in Ramon?
We all got inside of Ramon.
I want to hear this story.
Metal Warrior style, we all got in Ramon, and we drove Ramon around, and we got out, we got in Link. It was the whole thing.
Was it Metal Warrior style? Was it? Or did he just make robot noises while you were inside of him?
Sound like RoboCop.
Ramon. Need oil.
But he never stayed there. So his bedroom was like a single mattress, no box springs, no sheets, just that and a pillow with no pillowcase on it, a really old entertainment center, and a small old-fashioned TV.
I remember that.
It is the perfect place to play Silent Hill, which I think you've mentioned before on your show we used to do.
But I remember that very, very well. I had a great time doing it. And I remember being in D.C., and we're all sitting at James Livingston's house. And I'm talking about Silent Hill, and James has one of those old-fashioned TVs. And generally, I know that I tend to be crass, but I'm tactfully crass. But I just lost. I do.
Okay. Wow. You really do.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
You're all my friends, and I've said lots of horrible shit to all of you.
Yeah, that's just because we tolerate it.
because I'm tactful about it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now you get it.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about it again, and I remember telling James about it, and I'm very excited. And I had just gotten like a new big screen TV, and I was talking about this game. I was like, we can't play it on my TV. You need to play it something like small and shitty, like your TV, James. And like as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, man, I am an asshole. And like even Meg like looks at me, but James just doesn't pay any mind. And then on the way home, like 2 hours later, I still feel terrible at this. I called James
you
and apologized.
You gave him your television, didn't you?
I should have.
You gave him your television.
I called and apologized. He's like, oh, it's no big deal. But I still, like once a week, I bet I think about that and I feel awful about it. This was like 4 years ago.
What's up, Internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. I wear all the spectacles in here. I don't have a beard. I'm looking at three beardos. It's beardos versus one dude with glasses, so I'm thoroughly outnumbered. I don't have a television story. I don't really have a guilt or a shame story either. I've got a story about words and the power of words on a child. For the longest time when I was a kid, I did not know the difference. I did not know there was a difference between the word exotic and the word erotic.
Wow, I thought you were going back to human being.
No, man, it's embarrassing how long I thought it was human being. Almost as long as I thought it was exotic and erotic was the same thing. I missed out on so many like scampish adventures because I thought it was going to go to like some kind of sex den as opposed to an exotic location. So still to this day, I do realize that they are different words and they have different meanings, but I still try to avoid using those words. Just in the off chance that I'm going to fuck it up because I've fucked it up for, I don't know, like, let's just say half my life.
And that they should be reversed. Exotic with the X sound in it. It should mean what erotic means.
Sexotic, yeah. Right? That's how you remember it.
Exactly.
Like EXXODIC. Yeah.
That's how it should be.
Oh, no, don't do this. You're going to wreck it for me. I'm going to have to start stopping and go, wait a minute. Yes, exotic. Lifestyles of the rich and famous will never be the same.
Mm-mm.
This may also be, I don't think I've really ever told anyone this before. This is weird. And sometimes I get, when I was a kid, I would get R's and fives mixed up. Like to the point where like, if I wasn't thinking about something when I was writing it, sometimes I would write a five for an R. So I'm pretty sure that means...
You were meant to code. That's what it means.
That I am damaged.
There's some wires crossing there.
They are.
E5 audit.
And like to this day, like when I'm really tired, like I am now, I will. Like I have literally written a 5 in place of an R without even thinking about it. And then like kind of looked down at the paper and been like, what the fuck? I thought we got over this like 30 years ago. Nope. Apparently not.
Wow.
Anybody else? A little story, a little intro?
Well, since we mentioned it, yeah, this will be quick. I just wanted to let Tadpog Nation know what great friends you guys are. because
in case you caught the last
episode. Hey, I just want to go on the record and say that I did not do the Josh voice.
Right. And one episode, I'm thankful. Josh, I've noticed that.
So I think you need to shave and put glasses on.
I do wear,
and join team specs.
I do wear glasses from time to time. But yeah. Okay, so when we were actually all living together at that house you mentioned earlier, so everybody was making fun of me for a long time. And they all got together like, you know, we've been really making
me
fun
and
of-
Jacob.
Yeah,
me
okay.
And Jacob.
Of Wolf Fighting
Fame. Wolf Fighting Fame. At least Tyler and Jacob started feeling a little guilty. And they're like, we've been really hard on Josh. We should buy him a game. So they went out to Walmart or the gaming store, or whatever, bought me, was it Soul Calibur? Uh-huh. I don't remember. It was like three or four or something like that. They bought me Soul Calibur. And so we're all playing and everything. We played for a while. Then a few months went by, like 6 or 7 months, and they're like, you know what? We've been really hard on Josh a lot lately, too. We've been making fun of him a lot. So you guys bought me Paper Mario.
Yep.
So this is like a trope for a little while. You guys just...
It's like a thanks for all the good times. We're gonna
thanks for letting us make fun of you so much.
So you guys sound like a mafia all of a sudden.
Because I remember, yeah, we were in that house and like somebody, like Jacob the Josh voice, and like we laugh, and then Jacob and I are just sitting and look at the TV, and then he gets kind of this pained expression on his face. Man, We've just been giving it to Josh really hard lately. Okay.
We should buy him something.
I've still got them. I've still got both those games.
That's nice.
So mine is an embarrassing flashback about words.
Tying it together.
Hey, I was in the sixth grade. I was a member of the student council. This is probably one of the most early and embarrassing moments of my life. I was in the student council. Sixth graders in my middle school were not allowed to play sports for some reason.
That's weird.
It wasn't like a JV varsity thing. Just seventh and eighth graders could play sports for the school and sixth graders could not.
What was regulation lunch on compound?
Salisbury steak and green beans.
And the word of God.
Right. So I was there in the classroom and homeroom one morning. This was a topic of conversation. I was getting worked up reporting what had been going on at the last student council meeting. And it was one of those moments that you see in movies where someone is standing in front of a classroom talking very passionately about something and people are going, yeah, yeah. And so I'm saying sixth graders should be allowed to play sports and we should be treated like all the other students in the class. And the sixth graders are getting really riled up. And then so we were separated into teams in the school. So some were called the Gems and some were called the Stars and some were called the Sharks. But the mascot for the school was the Trojans. And so I've got this whole class of sixth graders really riled up about claiming our rights as full blown students of the school. And I deliver this line. So some of us are Stars and some of us are Gems, but we're all Trojans. And I completely lost them. I watched an entire classroom full of sixth graders totally riled up about whatever I was talking about go from yeah, yeah, yeah to... I looked over at my homeroom teacher and she gave me this look like, dude, I can't save you. And so I don't remember what I did, but it was something along the lines of, so yeah. And sat down.
Yep.
That was the end of it?
That was the end of it. Yeah.
And to this day, sixth graders are treated like second-rate citizens.
Yeah, maybe. At James Weldon Johnson Middle School. But yeah, so that's one of those moments that comes back to me that where you felt like you really had mm-hmm. momentum going. Mm-hmm. It was my Howard Dean moment. Where, yeah, you really had something going for you, and then you totally blew it.
Man, yeah. Poor Howard Dean.
Yep, so my embarrassing moment about words, we're all Trojans.
Well, we are. Yeah. We are, really, if you stop and think about it.
It's true.
Those the Emmons's house words, we're all Trojans.
No, actually,
we're all Trojans, dot, dot, dot. Sorry.
The Emmons house words, they were given to us in seminary. We're the party Marines, so it's first to arrive, last to leave, no man left behind.
Well, that's actually okay. Kind of cool.
Yeah, because
that's true. You closed down every single party.
Because it turned out... Yeah, we were either hosting or like showing up early to help, and then we tended to be the last to leave. So yeah, Josh Erickson. No, not Josh
Edwards. Josh, Time Lord Josh Edwards.
No, this is Josh Easterson, who's now married to Becky Zartman. Josh Easterson.
Y'all know a lot of damn Joshes.
Yeah, deemed us the party Marines. So that's the Ammons house words.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. I guess before we dive more into FTL, I do have...
Or even at all.
I started a new book that I want to gush about for Audiobook Corner.
Do it, man.
I started the sixth book in the Iron Druid series, which great set of books, especially if you like the Dresden Files. It's a modern-day fantasy where it's about... he was the last remaining druid, and it has a lot of... Irish folklore and things like that. And if you like the Dresden Files, modern day fantasy, single protagonist, very good series of books.
Does he build Stonehenge?
He was trained at Stonehenge.
Okay. So.
Speaking of Dresden Files, I saw on my way to work, I work in Murray, Kentucky, on my way to work, which Murray's a college town. That's about all that's in Murray is
fast food and the college.
Murray State University. So So there's a lot of college kids walking around during school's over now. This was a few weeks ago, but I was driving on my way to work. It was still like 80 degrees outside, and I saw Harry Dresden, like this kid, this kid in like a full length leather trench coat and like the like black leather cowboy hat, and he had like a backpack full of bags or something. He was just walking down the street. I really wanted to.
His staff and his blasting rod just walking down the streets of Murray.
It sounded like you just like happened to run across like two teenagers humping behind a dumpster or something. I just saw
Harry
man,
Dresden.
God, I just saw Harry Dresden. That guy was really giving it to old Harry Dresden.
All right, FTL.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if anybody hears the. There's
the
definitely no train for those frogs.
I can't
hear anything, perhaps because the train is going faster than sound.
Oh. So wait for the boom?
Yeah. So what I need you to do is I'm going to go ahead and start reading it, and mm-hmm. then like maybe 5 seconds in, I'm going to need a train noise.
Okay.
All right. This is a long one too, so I may cut it short. Otherwise, everyone may fall asleep. Well, I may fall asleep reading it. Okay, guys, FTL, colon, Faster Than Light is a top-down, real-time strategy video game.
Choo.
There we go. Yeah, nice. Created by indie developers Subset Games. In the game, the player controls the crew of a single spacecraft, holding critical information to be delivered to an allied fleet several sectors away. Meanwhile, they are being pursued by a large rebel fleet. The player must guide their spacecraft over a number of sectors, each with planetary systems and events procedurally generated in a roguelike fashion, while facing against rebel and other hostile forces, recruiting new crew, and outfitting and upgrading their ship. Combat takes place in pausable real time, and the ship is destroyed or the crew lost, the game ends in permadeath, requiring the player to restart.
Over and over and over again.
There's a little section here that I think is a little bit interesting, mainly because we're some Dragon Conners, and this will probably be interesting to us, maybe no one else listening, but the concept for FTL was based on tabletop board games and other non-strategic space combat video games that required the player to manage an array of ships' functions. The initial development by the two-man Subset Games was self-funded and guided towards developing entries for various indie game competitions. With positive responses from players and judges at these events, Subset opted to engage in a crowdsourced Kickstarter campaign to finish the title and succeeded in obtaining 20 times more than they had sought. The extra funds were then used for more professional art, music, and in-game writing. The game, considered one of the major successes of the Kickstarter fundraisers for video games, was released in September 2012 to many positive reviews. An updated version, which we just talked about a little bit before recording, FTL colon Advanced Edition, adds more ships, events, and other gameplay elements, and that was released on April 3rd, 2014. That's a free update for existing owners, as well as for those who purchase the game on iPad devices. This is for Steam. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's where I think we pretty
that's
much
played
it. And now also on iOS. I want to talk a little bit about Steam, Wiley, because you were kind of anti-Steam, right?
So, yeah, I have a Steam ban that I have to confess, despite the fact I admitted lifting a while back, is actually still on. FTL was going to be my moment where I lifted my Steam ban. Mm-hmm. I found out you could get it as an independent download.
Oh, I see.
And I did.
So the embargo remains.
So, yeah.
Okay.
quick story. Valve Atari co-released Counter-Strike. First-person shooter, competitive first-person shooter. It is basically first-person shooter crack. And not to get us off of FTL.
No, like, I could... We can hijack this.
Please.
I can talk to you about Counter-Strike for an hour.
Get us off.
Counter-Strike.
Please get us off.
What about me, Wiley?
Two hands at a time, Josh.
Total Counter-Strike junkie in college. Love that game. Still love that game to this day. Went to reinstall it after I graduated college. I had a little bit of time on my hands. Wanted to get back into Counter-Strike, and it didn't work. I got online. It said my version was wrong or I needed to download something. I needed to contact Atari. I contacted Atari. Atari said, dreadfully sorry. There were these CDs that we released. We didn't check with our distributor. We messed it up. There were duplicate CD keys. We can't verify who bought the game and who didn't. We need you to rebuy the game. And I said, rebuy the game. I'll just send you my original media. And they said, if you still have the original media, that will work. Send us your original media and $15, and we'll send you a new... And I went, wait a minute.
Right, wait, yeah, they're like trying to pull a fast one on you.
Original media and $15. And so, yeah, I loved Half-Life. I loved Counter-Strike. I loved all of those games. And at that moment, that was where the Valve band started, and Valve started Steam. And so...
maybe you should have an Atari band. Oh, this sounds like Atari's the one that really fucked you over. Mm-hmm. No more E.T. Oh, you are not playing E.T. Mm-hmm. anymore.
But they unearthed all of those.
Why? Molly's not getting one.
I still have my Atari. And I can't do an Atari band.
Yeah. Oh, so you have to choose one or the other. Yeah. It's just more convenient to well, go Valve.
Yeah, I guess.
I was telling you just yesterday, I was like, oh, Newegg has a value for all three BioShocks for $12.
Good God, that's yeah. great.
I know. I went on to Amazon. It was Steam key only. And I went, oh. Oh, man.
You're not alone. I know other people who just hate Steam for other reasons, but
the whole thing, you have to have it installed, you have to have it running, you have to verify, check in with Valve anytime you want to run the game. As soon as Steam goes down, what happens to all the games you've bought, blah blah blah,
you know. It's worth it to me, honestly, because I almost treat it as renting.
Yeah,
honestly, because like I never buy a $60 game on Steam. I only buy, we talked about this before, Tyler.
Yeah,
we only
$15 buy $15. Like, so it's like, oh man, no way.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Cents.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, there is something to be said for the convenience. Yeah, if I don't have an enormous Steam library like Tyler does, but
Shake dwarfs me. I should take a fist punch or fame. Nothing compared to his Steam library.
But yeah, it's, oh my God, it's so much more convenient than having a, you know, a desk just full of
media.
Boxes of of games. Yeah,
I still have my boxes there.
I went and cleaned a lot of that stuff out of all, like all my old desk drawers and stuff.
Me too.
I kept all the instruction manuals, but like all the CDs and boxes, I got rid of.
I threw everything out. Yeah. I threw all of it out. If I had a flamethrower, I would have used it.
You should have thrown it in my direction.
All right, so FTL.
Faster than light.
I didn't get very far in this game.
No.
You need more than a week to play it.
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. so.
I sat down and I tried for a while, and it's just, man, this game is fucking hard.
Had you played it before prior to this week?
No.
Okay. So we have a little bit, us three have a little bit of an advantage because, I mean, I feel like we've been playing this game pretty much since it came out. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, not early, too long after.
Early 2013 is when I bought it.
Yeah.
But I've had a lapse, and I haven't played it, I don't think, probably for, man, it's probably been since I mentioned it last on the show, which was probably about a year ago. I just recently bought it on iPad because I was going to try it out, which I did briefly, but probably not long enough to actually give you an opinion on it. So hopefully I can remember this game, and I'm really glad that we've got two vets. Because mm-hmm. have you both actually completed the game? Because mm-hmm. that is something that I got to the end of the game probably like 10 times and never finished it because of the battle at the end.
Yeah. The final boss is really, really hard. And I guess I'd love to talk to you, Wiley, about tactics later.
Please.
On.
Please. Because I want to know how to do it.
I've only found a couple different things that actually worked with the final boss.
Man, if it's a teleporter, then I'm out.
One of them.
Yeah, one of them's a teleporter.
Man, I don't like using that damn thing.
The other fire bombs I found work really well. But I'll get into all that later. But yeah, going back to what you said, Tyler, it is a really hard game. In fact, I was playing it. I played a game. I thought I could squeeze in a quick game before I came over here to record. And this is what happens to me. And this is a perfect example of what a normal game goes like. You start off, you've got three different difficulties, easy, normal, and hard, which easy is hard, or normal is insane, and hard is just punishment.
I am death incarnate.
So I always, I've tried on normal. I've never beaten it on normal, but I've beat it a few times on easy. So anyway, I start off with this easy game. You start off with more resources than the others. Everything's going well. I get a string of luck early on. I run into a bunch of pirates that want to bribe me by giving me stuff if I just leave them alone. So I get a quick boost to my resources. I find a really cool laser weapon to go on my gun. So I've got pretty good offense going on. Then I get to a pulsar, and there's a battle at this pulsar. The pulsar will disable your systems. So I'm fighting this other ship. It takes out my oxygen supply. So I'm slowly suffocating. So I beat the other ship. The pulsar is constantly disabling my systems. I beat the other ship. I send my crew quickly to fix the oxygen supply before I suffocate to death. And so I get the oxygen supply. You're slowly losing health. As you suffocate, your crew's losing health. So I'm having them repair the oxygen. They do. I send them over to the med bay real quick because oxygen still has to have time.
Because you need them to heal up.
Right. It has to have time to resupply. So send them to the med bay to get healed. And pulsar hits. Oxygen supply gets knocked out. So it's not producing any oxygen. Med bay gets knocked out. They suffocate and die.
Yeah.
And that was just it for me.
That was it.
I was having this really good run until just extreme bad luck.
Yeah.
So it's shit like that. It's like... 70% luck, 30% strategy.
Well, in every other game you play, you just quit and restart from your save point. Mm-hmm. But the great thing about this game, one of the incredible things about this game, you can save. You can save and quit a game in progress, but you get one save
game. It's a one-time save.
And when you die, the game automatically deletes your save game. Which is one of the things that's so appealing about this game to me.
It's super important for this game.
Yeah.
I don't think this game would function as well as it does if it didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the danger is very much a part of this game. Yeah. It's very much a part of this game.
Yeah.
And it's to the point where I wouldn't say it doesn't feel punishing.
Right.
Like, even when I have, because I've, trust me, Josh, I've run into situations like that where it's just been like, oh, I'm just fucked. I'm just, I'm going to die. This is not how I'm going to make it here. And I never felt like I was cheated out of it. I always felt like, I know you say that luck's a lot of it, but every time I come out of it, it was like, you know what? If I would have kept those guys in oxygen instead of rushing everyone to med bay, maybe I could have pulled out of that.
I'd have made it. So you start the cycle all over again.
Yep.
It's like coming back to an abusive relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing I really like about this game, too, is that every game you play is going to be totally different. So it forces you to do different things. You try different tactics. Like that one run, I had at that point, I had two really cool laser cannons. There are some times where you just won't get any weapons.
Right.
You have to rely on your crew to teleport over and take out the enemy, stuff like that.
Oh, I hate it.
Right, or it's all projectile, right, or it's all ion. It depends on what comes up in the store and if there are any stores at all and what the pirates drop.
And what you scavenge off of ships.
Right. Yeah.
You kind of have to learn by punishment, because I went through the tutorial mode and like it just tells you the barest facts you need to do.
Yes.
You just have to die over and over again to learn how do you equip this? What is good against this? Who are these people that you're running into? Because they're different races than humans and they act differently.
But the galaxy is different every time you play. So sometimes there are nebulas, sometimes there are different alien homeworlds that you encounter. It's randomly built. So that it's interesting.
Yeah. Not only that, the situations that come up.
Yeah.
You get a distress signal. There are giant spiders attacking this one ship. They want you to send help. you send help, you may or may not get killed by those spiders. Right. You know? It's all chance.
And so something that really good could come out of it.
Right. Or
something really bad could come out of it. Like you said, you get killed.
Or you encounter that event with a transporter and you can get an extra blue option that only exists if you encounter this event equipped in this particular way. Mm-hmm. Which is really cool for replayability.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you run into these same scenarios over and over, but they can turn out totally different each time.
I remember the first time I encountered that when I got the same scenario.
It is not worth it. Just for the record, do not send your crew to help with the alien spiders.
Here's the rule about FTL, at least that I got from this game. Don't be a hero.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. If you want to finish the game, do not be a hero.
Well, that's why I got such a strong start to my last game before my crew suffocated.
You were taking all those bribes.
I was taking the bribes. I was trying not to be a hero. And
the first time I played it, I don't think I even got through the first system because I was like, oh, pirates. All right. Attack.
Damsel in distress. Yeah. I got to save the princess.
And then I did some of that bullshit where it's like, oh, giant spiders in a ship. Of course I'm going to save them. A bunch of people are dead, and that's not good.
I lost three of my crew, and I only now had what? Four.
Right, yeah. Now it's like, okay, I guess I'm going to steer the ship. And I think that's interesting. I think that's where kind of like some of the board game element comes in, is how the ship is laid out, because the ship has all these different kinds of rooms, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's got your bridge, it's got an engine room, it has weapon rooms,
shields,
a med bay, and each of these rooms has a function. Like if you put someone in the engine room, your ship has a better chance of dodging attacks.
Right. Your jump reproduces faster and you have better evade. Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's stuff like that where you can kind of build your crew around the functionality of the ship. And that's really cool because you can, from very early on, start customizing your own ship. And it also just kind of feels like a board game just because the way the ship looks and it's all segmented and these little compartments.
You're completely stationary. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're in a spaceship. You're not actually maneuvering around. All you're doing is hopping from jump point to jump point.
Yeah, you're not flying. Right, this thing. Yeah.
The micromanaging of the systems is another thing because each system requires power.
Yes.
And you have your reactor, which produces so much power, which you can upgrade your ship and get more out of it. But you never want to do. Yeah, yeah. You never, even if you get it maxed out, you don't have enough power to power all your systems max. You still have to, this ion beam just knocked out my shields. Mm-hmm. I'll drain my shields now since they're useless and put this to weapons now. So, my oxygen got knocked out. Might as well go ahead and shut that off, put everything into my teleporter so I can send my crew over to their ship where they've got plenty of oxygen, stuff like that. So it's the decisions that you have to make to
constant decisions, right? And they all feel super important because they are super important.
Yeah,
like if you don't make that decision where it's like, oh, my shields are down, and you don't divert your power elsewhere, which is a very smart move, but it's easy to overlook that because usually in combat, like, a bunch of shit is happening at once.
Yeah,
it's
you guys, like, are saying shit I had no idea about. It's like, think about that
lasers
shit.
Lasers are hitting you. Uh-huh. They're sending drones over to your ship. They're destroying your oxygen. There's fires. Like, parts of your ship are on fire. And it's just like, holy shit, I have to manage all of this.
Yeah.
Do I send my crew to put out the fire, or do I just open all my doors and let
the vacuum of space
vent it out? Yeah.
Because fire is what killed me every time I played this game. Every single time. Fire
is a pain, dude. Yeah. Fire is
shut off your oxygen, open the doors to
vent
space.
All the doors. put all of your crew in the med bay, seal off the med bay, and just open the ship. All the exterior doors, and it'll kill that fire.
Fuck. Is there any way, like, can you ever carry over any resources or anything from game to game?
No.
It's all completely. I guess I like a dirty roguelike, like Rogue Legacy, where you get a little. I mean, you're trying. You get a little credit for trying.
The only thing would be if you unlock new ships.
Yeah.
You can get different setups, and sometimes some of them are, I think, a little bit stronger than the very first ship you start off with. So you do get a little bit of an advantage, different crew stuff like there's the rock ship. You start off with like two or three rock crewmen who are immune to fire.
And that's an alien race.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The rockmen.
Yeah, there are several different alien races. My favorite, I can't think of what they're called, but they're the green...
Zoltan.
Yeah, the Zoltans. Yeah. Because they... I love
the fortune-telling machines.
I love powering my systems. I never felt like I had enough power. I always liked everything.
Now you're playing with power, yeah. Josh. Superpower.
It could be. Well, game already has achievements. But if it didn't, that would be an achievement. But yeah, I love, because you put one of the Zoltan crew members, if they're in like the engine room, mm-hmm. the engine room will have another unit of power.
Because they're essentially radioactive right. beings. Yeah. Uh-huh. So they provide, they function as a power source.
So D&D style, every race has its advantages and disadvantages, mm-hmm. unless you're a human, and then they're just completely boring.
Which humans are, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask, the humans just suck in this game. Usually humans are like the jack of all trades in like most all games.
Yeah, so humans in FTL learn faster. That's really the only advantage they have. They're 100 health, mm. they're vanilla, middle of the road, but they learn skills faster. Because if you leave your crew members at a particular station, mm-hmm. they'll learn to be a good pilot or a good engineer or a good weapons officer.
Which is important because it increases your chances. Like, for instance, if you have someone in the engine room who has several levels, has spent a long time in the engine room, your evade goes up.
Yep. And your FTL, your jump drive charge time goes down.
Right.
Because they're better engineers. Yeah,
that's another thing. You can actually, you get into fights every jump, well, not every jump, but several jumps, and you can actually run away mm-hmm. if your FTL is charged. But to do that, you have to have somebody in the pilot chair or the pilot room, and you have to have somebody in the engine room. So if either of those systems get knocked out, you can't run away.
And see, I thought about going through a game like that, just trying to play like a quick evade kind of game, but...
That's an achievement.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. If you get to Sector 5 without ever firing a shot, the achievement symbol is a peace sign.
I don't know how you could... Like, I don't know how I could do that because a lot of this game revolves around upgrading your ship, right? Mm-hmm. Which you do through
combat.
Scrap
yeah.
that you get after bribery. Destroying a ship. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But see, then it's kind of a roll of the dice mm-hmm. because, like, if you're jumping from system to system, what if you never get to a scenario where bribery is an option or negotiations an option?
There are very rare occasions you can actually use the environment. Which I love doing. You get
the arm. Did you ever get the arm?
The attachment? Salvage arm.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
okay. Oh, that's like the best damn upgrade for the ship. I swear it is. When you get it early on, you can just start upgrading like crazy.
Yeah, the scrap arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The if you hit an engagement next to a sun.
Then the fucking solar flares.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my god! And they light your ship on fire, but they also do it to the other ship too. So there were times when or an asteroid field, you're constantly getting hit with asteroids. So a lot of times, especially early on in the game when you don't have a lot of firepower, I would just go total defensive and just let the environment destroy that other ship.
And collect the loot.
Right, yeah.
Oh, God. I've forgotten about the solar flares. That is so taxing.
Yeah.
Because if you're not built for defense and it's like...
Burning it to the ground.
Oh my God. It is the worst feeling because it's just like this massive damage over time where it's like, I'm fucked. I am fucked. There's
What's
no way I can repair all this.
Is that if you jump away, you're half your ship's on fire. You beat the other guy. You're like, fuck, I got to repair, but I can't repair because the solar flares keep hitting me. I got to get away from this star. So you jump away and you're in the middle of like an asteroid field or another fight or something
right,
like
you
that.
You jump right into a pirate ship.
Right.
You can shoot my shield down, dude, but all you're going to find is a flaming
Time is an issue too. You can't really dilly-dally around because the map, the rebel forces start to encroach on the star map.
It is turn-based, but yeah, you can't you've got all these options, places to jump. You can jump
all forward, these nodes.
Yeah, to forward, backwards. You can go exploring around. But yeah, every turn, the rebel fleet is encroaching.
So you mentioned earlier about the fact that it mimics a board game.
Mm-hmm.
And the board game that I know that closely matches this game is the Battlestar Galactica board game.
I have yet to play it. I see it every year at Dragon Con. This year, we should play it.
Cardboard, plastic, die-rolling version of FTL.
Cool.
It has that level of intensity and fear and individual ship compartment management.
Do I have to know anything about Battlestar Galactica?
No.
Because I am not willing to make that commitment.
No, you don't. I will say the more that you know about it, the richer it makes the game.
But I can still have fun.
Oh, yeah. Except, okay, great. So the only thing I would say that makes Battlestar Galactica, the board game, a little better to me is imagine if halfway through, if the 8 sectors is the end of this game, imagine if at the 4th sector, one of your crew turns traitor.
They couldn't do that in FTL.
Yeah,
because your crew is just like dispensable.
Well,
like, don't get attached to a dude. It's like Game of Thrones. Don't get attached to that Zoltan, because next solar flare, he ain't going to be around.
One of my favorite names for the starting humans that you get at the beginning of the game, his name is El Noob Noob.
It was like the people that helped fund the Kickstarter, right?
They named them
after the...
Nice.
Yeah, so that's some of the random names are kind of cool. Some of them are like El Noob Noob Noob, or but they're named after the people that helped fund the Kickstarter.
I remember this Kickstarter, and I didn't help fund it, but I really wish I had.
I wish I did too. I actually funded the Star Command Kickstarter, which I think you mentioned before. But
it's kind of like FTL Lite.
Yeah, FTL's definitely better.
Yeah,
Star Command was pretty fun. So.
Definitely, it's more action-y, less resource management, and more combat.
Yeah, so we mentioned the races a little bit. It does have a rich set of races that all have special abilities. And one of the things I love about the game mechanic is that the systems of the ship are interdependent and necessary. So something gets damaged, it has an effect right now that you have to start adjusting your strategy based on what's damaged, what's on fire, what's going on.
Fires. Fire's so bad. Fire's so nasty.
Fire's bad.
Sorry to interrupt
hull
you.
Breaches.
Oh, yeah.
Because when a hull breach happens and you bring your crew in to repair that module, that section of the ship, you actually have to repair the hull breach before you repair the module itself. And hull breaches mean no oxygen.
Right.
So just about as bad as fire. It's constant damage over time while you're trying to...
But that fire spreads. And that's what really sucks is when that fire, like when there's a fire in a small room that is important to your ship. Mm-hmm. Like I've been in a situation before where I've been in a skirmish and they will firebomb my engines. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, well...
I'm not jumping.
Yeah, I can't get away. And then the engine room is not very big and fire spreads quickly. And what'll happen is I just got dudes pouring in to try to fix it and they're just burning alive. And it's like, I gotta get it fixed. What am I gonna do? And it's like, I don't have time to vent the whole ship because meanwhile, I'm being blasted.
And next door to the engines in the Kestrel is oxygen.
Right.
So it sets the oxygen system on fire. And
I lost the battle after the fact because like I was fighting a ship. They took out my sensors. So then like some room was on fire. I couldn't tell it was on fire. So I'm sending some guy in there and just like, before I noticed, like, hey, why did they stop preparing? Where did he go? Okay, that's another one in there. And then I noticed his health is going down. Like, what the fuck's going on? I better just hurry. I get in there and then like he dies on the way to the room because the fire spread and I can't see it. And it's like, oh, game over. Uh-huh. Invisible fire.
Fire was actually one of my favorite ways of combat. I love getting the fire bombs, the fire beam, I think.
Yes.
I love getting those because I loved setting those off and just sitting back and waiting. Mm-hmm. And you just slowly see that enemy ship burn, Dave. You just sit back and watch it burn. Uh-huh.
I'm doing it to you now. Yeah, the biobeam was another one of my favorite weapons. Because if you're able to eliminate the crew of an opposing ship, this is either by boarding or by destroying the crew themselves without destroying the ship, your salvage is exponentially higher.
I did not know that. That makes perfect sense. So but if I had you can kill I did not off the know crew, that.
You get a lot more scrap.
Okay, who's the best? What's the best alien race to send over in the teleporter?
The Mantis.
Yes.
Mantis and the new race in the events or the extra content. I forgot what they're called.
Lanius, it looks like.
The Mantis, they do more damage. They attack, I think, like twice as fast.
And they have 125 or 150 health.
Yeah, so they have more health. So they're great at combat. The Lanius, actually, against crew, are better because they drain all the oxygen. They can survive in oxygen without oxygen.
They're a living hull breach.
Right. Yes, they are a living hull breach.
So you can send them over and just
suck the air out as you're beating them to death.
Whenever you get their ship, you've got a whole. If you got a whole Lanius crew, just open all the doors. Just keep oxygen off. Because then fire is not an issue for you at all.
And no one can board you.
Yeah, and people board you, they just die. But you send them over, and all the oxygen in the room's gone, and it just will take all of them out just like that. But usually, Mantis are much easier to find, generally speaking. So I ended up, the first time I beat the game was with the Mantis crew. And it was, I had the teleporter and I would just, for the boss, that was one of the tactics.
The final boss is so damn hard.
Well, it's hard enough to get there.
Yeah. Right.
And then once you get there, the Eighth Sector, he's moving towards the Federation base and you got repair stations.
Yeah. You've
and
got like
ships.
Four turns to do it. Cause if it gets to the base, then that's game over.
And that's what happened to me the first time. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn. Okay.
Because you get to
be chasing that guy.
Right.
Yeah, you get to Sector 8 with like a tenth of your hull and still intact. You've got like no fuel. So you go to these repair stations. You're like, okay, this one's just two jumps away. I'll go there and get repaired, and then I'll go and take out this ship. By the time you go to the station, he's moved. Yep. He's got to the base.
You're
and
done.
It's gone. Yeah. So
that's I like how you describe that because that does feel like that every time you make a jump and it's like oh damn it, and it's like just reiterates what this game is about. This game is about not necessarily beating it,
survival.
Exactly. How far can you get?
Yep.
And that's what becomes addictive for me is I was like, I'm sure I can get further this time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Battlestar Galactica, the board game, same way. Ships, board full of Cylons, ships falling apart, things are on fire, people are dying, and then you jump away and it gets really quiet. Mm-hmm. And you got to fix all your junk because in about two turns, they're coming back. And I think that's what makes this game so intense.
That
I'm one jump away. I'm one delay away from having the rebel fleet on top of me, from encountering another ship that I can't beat this time because they have three shields deep. And so it's all of this intensity of I got to get there, but in getting there, I'm usually just one jump, one fire, one hull breach away from death.
Yep.
And it's permanent.
Yep.
Yeah.
So final thoughts on FTL.
Well, do you want to talk about the final boss for a second?
So it's take like four individual pirate ship battles and put them all together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially one right after the other.
And then, and then you have to fight it again.
Yeah.
And then again.
Right.
The third time you beat it, it's
finally over.
But this is a ship with four times normal enemy ship's weapons. It's got everything, all the
subsystems.
Subsystems, maxed out.
Yep.
So it is very, very hard to beat.
And as a tag pug theme, that's not even its final form.
Yeah.
So you have to go through, like Josh was saying, you have to go through three different layers of the final battle before you actually defeat the final ship. And ridiculously enough, the unlocks are defeat the final ship with a Kestrel, and you unlock another ship, and defeat the final battle with this ship, and you unlock another ship. And so looking at that list of ways to unlock the ships through the course of the game, man.
Something that I'm really glad they did in the extra content that they released last month, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the game's been out for a little over a year, and then they released extra content last month, which you've got several different ships to choose from, and each ship has like an alternate costume theme. The layout of the ship's different. All the systems are in a different place. You maybe start with a different crew, you know, different weapons, whatever on the ship.
How important is that stuff? Like, does that equalize eventually?
Pretty important. Okay. Yeah. With the extra content, each type of ship got another. So there are three. So there,
A, B, C.
Yeah, there you get the
loadouts.
Yeah, loadouts. There you go. To get the third loadout with the expanded content, you only have to get to the eighth sector. You don't have to beat the game. You just have to get to the end before you fight the boss with the other ships, loadout Bs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you unlock that ship, which is much easier than actually beating the game.
Right.
So that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
That they didn't, because they kind of acknowledge how hard the game actually is to beat. So it's.
Would you recommend the game?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes, I've sunk a ton of time into playing, and this is a punishing game. Don't get me wrong, which I usually don't like punishing games.
I love being punished.
I don't know if
it, but so I'm friends with you guys.
I have a problem calling it a punishing game. It is a punishing game in the fact that it's permadeath.
But other rewarding. Than
that, yeah. I mean, I think it's not like it doesn't feel like Dark Souls to me. Where Dark Souls feels like a punishing game, it feels like Dark Souls was designed to piss me off, to irritate me. Mm-hmm. FTL does not feel like that to me. It feels like it was designed for me to have fun. It just happens to be a difficult-ass game.
The stakes are high.
Yeah.
That's why I played Diablo 2 on hardcore whenever I played on Battle.net, because the stakes are high.
Yeah.
And
that's why you have to play D&D with no resurrection. It's going to be a real battle.
Yeah, death is real, and that just ratchets up the intensity for me and makes it a lot more fun. Mm-hmm. Those decisions matter.
Yeah.
There's no illusion.
It's not the illusion of choice. Yeah.
That's right.
Dave and I have both lost characters in Tyler's game. Tyler's current game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep.
Nice.
And I've lost all of you on my Kestrel before.
Yep.
I run out of friends real fast.
Yeah, I did the same thing. Every time I start a new game, got to rename all these characters. Then you're just like, fuck it, I don't care. New game, random crew, not naming the ship, not naming the crew.
Oh, I name it every time. Josh, you are arms. I've got you manning the cannons. This is no joke. This is 100% serious. Josh, I've always got a human named Josh who's on the cannons. I've always got a human named Tyler who's on the shields. And I've got a human named Wiley who's in the engine room.
Oh, nice.
I think I stopped naming them after I lost Nicole once. I think it was a shitty situation, too, where like I had sent her over. To my Nicole is my current wife. As
current,
my
yeah.
Did you guys not catch that?
No, I did. Okay, I asked Meg about this today. Yeah. I was listening to the Mega Man X2 episode, and both Josh and Sean are talking about, or Sean and Sean were talking about
their current wives. So
and like the position is temporary. Yeah.
So my current wife Nicole.
I missed that.
Yeah, I had. I had sent her over to an enemy ship. She's fighting.
Why'd you do that?
I know. She's fighting the crew, trying to take out the crew or at least keep them busy while I'm firing my weapons. My weapons are still firing on this ship. And I think she had killed the last guy, and then my weapons continued to shoot, or there was like the ship was on fire or something.
Oh, no.
But anyway, the ship blows up before I can teleport her back over.
No!
So I was like, no.
Dude.
So yeah, after that I stopped naming.
I was thinking about the same thing. As quickly as you lose crew members in FTL, I was like, Dave, I'm not sure I have the emotional capacity to name my crew after my friend.
Oh, do it. It makes the game a lot more fun because it's like you get emotionally invested. That's like when I played Final Fantasy Tactics. I had a character from the very beginning of the game, and her name was Strawberry. And I was like, no matter what, if I'm going to use Strawberry in every battle, if Strawberry dies, because I made Strawberry an analog to Nikki. I told her because she was watching me play, and I was like, you're Strawberry. You're Strawberry. If Strawberry died,
this is over.
Just reset the game. Yeah, exactly. So that game took me a long time because people, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm really shitty at Final Fantasy Tactics, but like my dudes died a lot. And it's like
it's a hard up until you get Orlando. It is a hard game.
And there are like all these situations where it's like four guys are laying out on the ground with timers above their head, and it's like, sorry everyone, but Strawberry, I'm getting my Phoenix down over there.
they don't die. They turn to crystals, Dave.
Well, that's
and
right.
You can absorb them.
Yeah, how do you do that?
You go over to the crystal.
No, I mean, once you get there, what do?
You just move into the crystal.
And no, I think he's asking, how do you physically absorb their knowledge?
Is it a suppository?
You take the crystal and you just shove it right up your ass.
Yeah. So this is the crystal that's symbolic of the essence of my wife.
Yep. I'd rather be dead. So Wiley,
it's a thought I don't want.
Thumbs up on FTL.
Yes.
Recommend.
I was happy to have this recording session as sort of my stopping point for this indulgence of FTL, because I could spend a lot of my time. This is a game, because it's hardcore, because it has such depth of strategy, this is a game you could spend a lot of time getting good at. And it's got those carrots. There's a reward.
Yeah.
Every time you get better, there's a little something extra. And now you have an entirely different set of strategies to get good at. Yeah, I like this game. I really like this game.
The other episode that you guest hosted on was also a science fiction game.
Yes, Super Star Wars. Terrible.
So, okay. So given a choice... You're gonna go
on
FTL.
On a desert island?
Yeah.
Yeah, FTL okay. All the way.
FTL is a good desert island game.
I could starve to death playing FTL. Star Wars, perfectly fine. I'd be fat on a desert island with Star Wars because there's nothing else to do. I'm hunting food, building fires, creating new technology.
Trying to avoid playing Star Wars.
Oh, dear Lord, anything but that.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've got a very important question for you.
Well,
this game has achievements.
It does. It does. So it's not that question.
Okay. What are we doing then?
But if it's anything else, I feel as the least person who's played the game the least at the table, I feel unqualified. So I want to outsource what you're about to ask me. I want to outsource the beard bill to Father Wiley Ammons.
Okay.
I want to outsource the glasses bill to Josh Nance of Uniracers fame.
Okay. All right. Wiley, I can help you. I've got a beard in mind.
Oh, yeah?
But I tell you what. I'm gonna keep it in reserve. I'm gonna let you do your thing, and if you feel like you need help, I'll be right here. You can tag me in.
All right. Well, hopefully, editing magic will help give me some time to.
And Josh, fuck you. You're completely on your own with this. It better be funny.
Yeah, because I don't have a glasses. I'm sorry. I have a beard, but I don't have a.
Despite
glasses.
Being the bespectacled host.
Okay. Do you want me to?
Yeah.
So, am I doing the glasses?
Do it.
No, we're gonna edit it so that Wiley goes first with the beard. So.
No. No, you guys need to think on your feet as if you're in the middle of a solar flare.
Okay.
Right. So I'm gonna, about
well, to you got to let Dave give you the setup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's going first? Josh. Okay. Josh.
Yes, Dave.
Had a very, very, very good time recording with you today.
So did I, Dave. I felt like I'm bringing maybe a 7, even a 7.5 today.
What?
I would put you... I'd say 7.5. I would not go 8.
No.
I don't think
I wasn't going to be. That's like Jacob York level.
It's a gift to be here to witness Josh at a 7.5.
You'll tell your wife you're an 8, but you're really more of a 7.5.
And for new listeners, we are talking about penises.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Josh, if you were to give this game a pair of glasses that just told the world how you feel about FTL : Faster Than Light, what kind of glasses would you give it, and why?
Okay, first of all, have you done the Geordi LaForge glasses? Mm-hmm. You have done mm-hmm. that? Okay, then I'm going to give it the Borg implant of...
Locutus?
Yeah, Locutus of Borg with the laser pointer for an eye socket. So you've got the laser pointer pointing. So it's
okay, I'm not there yet. I'm watching Star Trek... starting from the original series.
Nice.
I haven't made it to
Next
Gen.
The original series is pretty short, but you've
three
got
seasons.
A lot of movies.
I'm doing movies too.
Okay, mm-hmm. So.
John Turley of NBA James fame is going to be helping me out with that.
So yeah, Locutus of Borg.
Okay. But I'll appreciate that when I get to it.
We're in season 2 of Voyager. Laura and I are doing the same thing.
Oh yeah?
Season 2 of Voyager.
We're grinding through Deep Space 9. We're like, we've 2 seasons away from finishing.
That's where it gets good.
Yeah. I'm rewatching Friends. Hey. I'm on season 6.
Cool, man. What's Rachel and Ross up to? What's their relationship
They're on and they're off. I don't know. It's crazy.
Has Marcel come back yet?
Fuck that monkey. fucking Marcel. It's the only part of Friends I fucking hate is that stupid fucking monkey.
Once the war with the Dominion starts, Deep Space Nine becomes an entirely different show. Yeah. And so good. Blake Woods of Blackthorn fame would be the...
Oathbreaker
Blake Woods is the one who told me to soldier on through Deep Space Nine, and I'm so glad I did. The war with the Dominion's awesome.
Wiley.
Yes, Dave.
I've so enjoyed having you on the show.
It's so great to be back.
You have brought a lot of insight to FTL. I feel like that we would have been lacking without you.
Thanks.
And I've got a very important question for you to kind of wrap things up, and that is... as a mustachioed cleric, I feel like you're well suited to answer this question. If you were to give this game a kind of beard that just told the world how you feel about it, what kind of beard would you give it?
Well, you set it up with a beard that you had in mind, and so I'm afraid this is going to be anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. However...
We're all about that here on the show. You've listened, you know. Well,
then Tadpog Nation to totally wreck your climax.
And our current wives can attest. We're all about wrecking a climax.
It's neatly trimmed, it's professional, it's in space, it's respectable. You could just look at it for ages. Commander William Riker's
up top.
I knew you were going to get the
up top.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Very neatly, well kept beard on the bridge.
Okay.
He goes from douchebag to a little bit less of a douchebag.
That's right. Ends up with Deanna Troi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so does Worf.
I mean, where no man has gone before.
Some people did call us.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
We can do that if you like. We're running a little long.
I think we got time for one.
Want to do one?
Yeah.
I hope it's from Wiley. We actually don't have any calls, so Wiley, what I need you to do is pretend like you're calling.
Hey, so you give blowjobs all the guessos, right? I just wondered.
Sweet.
Man, I wish I'd thought of that.
It's never too late for blowjobs.
That's the Tadpog tagline.
Right. It's the Tadpog family crest.
All right, first call.
Hey, Tadpog, this is Nest Dude Michael here. I need some help. I've been listening pretty regularly since about the Turtles in Time episode, but I'd like to hear more, but there's really no way in hell I'm going to listen to all 90 of the episodes that I've missed. So why don't you,
no, it's
you guys
not.
Give me some gems, maybe a smattering of really good episodes I can just pick out and listen to.
Superstar.
So that I don't have to spend the rest of my life listening to your backlog. Anyway, what you guys are doing. See ya.
Michael only has 90 more hours of life. So he's just picking the best ones.
Man, I feel we just got slammed.
Yeah. I don't have time to listen to your crap.
Cut the shit, guys.
Okay, well, no sports game. No sports episodes.
Yeah.
But that's sometimes fine. The sports episodes are the greatest.
We got a really good response to the NBA Jam.
NBA Jam's episode.
We did get
really
a really good response
no
to that.
No simulated sports episodes.
No. But he's already heard that if he's been listening since Turtles in Time, which I thought Turtles in Time was a pretty good episode.
It was.
I think that Super Star Wars is great. Honestly, I think any show that we did with a guest host is worth listening to.
You're just being humble. Having listened to all of it, but Bioshock Infinite, they're all well worth your time. There's a gem in every episode.
Well, I'm not trying to downplay us.
Maybe it's just one in an hour.
I mean, but there are. I mean, I feel like usually when we have guests on the show is when we actually have deeper conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like today, I like today because it's like, wow. I feel like there was a lot of. Josh was at a 7.5. Wiley's bringing it. We got a Riker's beard thing going. I don't know. Tyler, do you have any personal recommendations?
Let's see. We always go by. We talk about Mortal Kombat being one of our strong early episodes.
Yeah.
I like The Lion King was a funny episode.
Yeah, you do like The Lion King. That was a good one.
He's already listened to NBA James.
Mm-hmm.
Illusion of Guy is probably too long for him.
I thought Populous was really good, just because the game
Jacob
was so different. Yeah.
Anything with a guest host, Lion King, trying to... That whole little run between Shadowrun, Soul Blazer, and
I like Soul Blazer. I thought that was a good one.
I think those are strong ones too.
And International Soccer.
I think Pocky and Rocky 2 is our most listened to episode, so I guess there's something people just love about that.
Rock and Roll Racing was the other day, uh-huh. So I don't know if they're in
competition. They go back and forth.
So I guess check those out. There's something there.
Super Bomberman.
It was Super Bomberman 2 was our most listened to
episode. Super Bomberman is really good. The Uniracers was really good. That was Josh's premiere.
I'm afraid to go back that far.
Yeah,
I do listen to our show. I listen to it when it publishes, and then I never go back. And I'm so scared to go back and listen to like the first 10 episodes.
I couldn't listen to Uniracers. I was so nervous.
If you listen and you like a guest host, see if they have an interview episode. Listen to interview episode.
Even though he's an Oathbreaker, I really and truly do love every episode that we do with Blake Woods. Honestly, I think all of his episodes are definitely worth a listen because he's Tadpog heel. I mean, we can really sit down.
Everybody
and go
else tries
back
to be
forth.
Like nice and funny. Blake doesn't give a shit being either one.
And I love it. I love it so much.
Yep, and the episode where Jacob finally becomes sort of Tadpog's...
Jacob becomes our adversary.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but if you're all about the games, then maybe not an interview episode. But,
yeah.
But if you like banter and find a guest host you like, interview episode.
Mm-hmm. And the Kirby's Dream Land episode, all of those, just the whole Kirby series. Nicole kind of makes a recurring appearance in the Kirby series. If you're into SNES.
My current wife.
Nicole. Yes, right. Josh's current wife.
Your current climax ruiner that you've selected.
Right.
The current woman you've selected to ruin climaxes.
Josh is always looking for climax ruiners. He heard Nicole had a good reputation for it.
Warm.
Josh always keeps a nice, tall glass of cold ice water next to the bed.
In case of ecstasy.
Dump.
I've got a little notepad full of sexist things I can say to her that are just, shut her down.
Or you?
Oh, that doesn't work for her?
All right. I guess we're running pretty long, so that's one good call we answered pretty solidly. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode, we'll be talking about IGN's 30th ranked game, The Lost Vikings.
Lost Vikings.
Wow.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe, give the show a review rating, 5-star. Give the show a 5-star rating, write a review. If there's a game you want us to play, include it in your review, and we'll get to it
eventually. Unless we die first.
Unless we die first. And then the other person has to soldier on and try to finish the episode.
We need a living will and testament. Who are we going to leave the show to when we die? I mean, Josh and Wiley are kind of here.
Mm-hmm.
Can you fly in every week, Wiley?
We'd have to figure out how to do it remotely. So every time you say that, I have this dread of downloading Tadpog one morning and hearing, "Hello, Internet. This is Tyler."
That could have been this episode. I'm very tired. And I very well could have just laid down and gone to bed.
And that's it. And going, "Oh, God. What happened?"
I think if he did that, he shouldn't mention anything about Dave. He should just carry on and just let the world wander.
I'm just a cadaver sitting in a chair in the corner.
You would wreck my Monday or my Wednesday.
It would ruin his Monday if you died.
I'm sorry, Wiley.
He'd be Garfield that day if you died.
That's right.
Just kick Odie off the table. It'd be fine. You'll feel better. Don't worry about me.
Miller's favorite comic.
Family Circus.
Yeah. Family Circus. Coping mechanism.
Shortly after BC. Don't worry, guys. We will be back next week, just like Tyler said. In the meantime, if you can't get enough Tadpog goodness, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. Tyler's been doing a wonderful job with the show notes, putting sometimes when we don't actually talk about a lot of stuff, he just puts awesome filler in there.
Random shit from the internet. Straight to you.
I really prefer the ones that he tags NSFW. That's perfect. I love that you tag it. I love that you're not afraid to post those. I'm all for it. If there's any way we can make this show more NSFW, I say let's do it. Our adversary may disagree, but I'm saying I think we kind of have the corner of the dirty game market, and I think we really need to dig our heels in. You can also find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. I am not going to mention photographs of turds on the floor, but there are other things there. I'm not going to tell you what they are. You're just going to have to go there and see.
Mm-hmm.
Please like us because it makes us feel better.
Yep, it does.
You can also find us on Twitter. We are at tadpog_podcast. Man, we have people just retweeting us like crazy, and I feel bad because we should thank people, but we're running long. Mm-hmm. If you're retweeting us, thank you so very much. There's a lot of you doing it, and I need to figure out how to like consolidate those in one email, because for every retweet I get an email. So it's usually at work. I'm just like, holy shit, I'm getting a lot of emails, but thank you for doing that. You want to call us? You want to text us? You can. You got a question? That's great. You got something to say? Fantastic. Is it video game related? Good. Do you want to call in and tell us what energy level you're at? Or do you think you're at a 6? I don't know. Keep it under 3 minutes. You can tell us whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can call us at 270-883-2555.
I do.
You do. I know.
On occasion.
And even when I don't recognize your voice.
Head cold.
All right. How are we going to split it up?
We'll go with Wiley first.
Okay.
Our intro song, Wiley.
Is Moves by Sycamore Drive.
You just answered Josh. So Josh, you lucked out.
Sycamore Drive?
That's okay. Josh, our show notes, where are they found?
Tadpog.com.
Okay.
I don't know why you keep telling people this. Tadpog, you should know this by now.
Well,
so they've said it over 100 times now.
For the new guy who joined at Turtles in Time, he needs a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening.
So until next time,
Tropical Capricorn.
I did it this time.
Yeah.
No, we weren't recording.
One more time. One more.
They're real high tech here at Tidebox Studio. They can be like, okay, next. Now isolate this noise and remove. Okay, here we go. This is Wiley.
Enhance.
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 Rotate the image. Enhance.